Now we're going to spend a little time exploring honesty, returning your body to the appropriate posture, resting your hands on your knees or on your lap, whichever is more comfortable, having your back gently straight, arms and shoulders relaxed, a little tuck of the chin if that helps. Drop your gaze in front of you or allow your eyes to simply close. Start by taking a few long, slow breaths, allowing the air to deeply enter into your chest and abdomen, watching your stomach rise and fall with each breath. What do we mean by honesty, and why is it relevant to a happy life? What are the effects of a dishonest word or action on ourselves and on the other person? Is a small act of honesty or dishonesty as significant as a large one? Can we become more honest when we are present? The 16 guidelines defines honesty as acting with transparency and fairness. Every culture has its own version of what transparency and fairness actually mean, so this can be a complex issue. However, we can't escape the fact that we each have our own inner sense of right and wrong. We know when we are not being transparent and fair. The question is whether we listen to this inner voice or let ourselves become so preoccupied, so cynical, that we ignore it. It's a personal choice. Every individual has the opportunity to be straightforward and honest in their dealings with others. Imagine a world where we all behave fairly, acted justly, and kept our financial affairs simple and straightforward. Recall a moment when someone was dishonest towards you. Perhaps you have a memory of being cheated when you were trying to buy something. Or maybe someone lied to you to get themselves out of a difficult situation. Perhaps you've experienced someone stealing a treasured possession. Can you remember what it felt like to be on the receiving end of dishonesty? What taste did it leave in your mouth? Has it affected your outlook or your own behavior? Now recall a moment when you weren't completely honest yourself. It could also be a moment when you attempted to be dishonest. Here are some examples. Have you ever taken stationery from work or used the office photocopier without permission? Have you avoided paying a bus or train fare? Are your tax affairs up to date? Have you deliberately lied to someone for your personal advantage? How did this make you feel? Why do you still remember it now? The 16 guidelines propose that there's no such thing as a good or a bad person. Instead, it's what we think, say, or do, which is either skillful or unskillful, depending on whether our intention is to help or to harm the living beings around us. If we do act in an unskillful way, we can use it as an opportunity to learn and move on. The following 5-step exercise will give you a taste of doing exactly that. To start, bring to mind a small example of when you behaved in a way that wasn't completely fair or honest. It could be something you did or said, or even just something you thought. Don't choose something too powerful. Keep it small and manageable. Hold that example of dishonesty in the forefront of your mind. The first step is to regret that action. Regret is the recognition that you have done something we wish we hadn't, which offends our own sense of right and wrong. It's completely different from guilt, which is much more complex and often unhelpful state of mind, in which a negative action reinforces a negative sense of who we are. Instead, we take confidence in our willingness to regret something that you wish you hadn't done. Once we have generated a clear, strong sense of regret, the second step is to take refuge. Taking refuge gives us inspiration and something higher to aspire to. If we have a connection with a religious tradition, we might take refuge in God, Allah, or the Buddha, or in a teacher we respect. Alternatively, we can take refuge in the wiser part of ourselves that is capable of going beyond such lapses in behavior. Refuge is like an umbrella that protects us from the elements. The third step is to apply a remedy of some kind. If we have taken something that was not offered, we can look for a way to return it. If we have told a lie, we might choose to apologize to the person concerned, or it may be more appropriate to identify a remedy that is private and internal. If the incident happened a long time ago, can we find something that will act as a counterbalance, such as giving money to charity or lending a hand to someone in a similar situation? The choice is ours, so long as it is driven by a genuine wish to make amends. The fourth step is to make a resolution, if possible, to do our very best to never repeat the same action again, never to cause harm in this way, never to offend our inner sense of right and wrong. However, it's important to be realistic, and sometimes never isn't realistic. For example, it may be more practical to resolve not to repeat that action for a certain period of time, such as a month, a week, or even an hour. Again, the choice is ours as to which resolution we will be most useful in strengthening our desire to learn and to move on. The fifth step is to rejoice, to really feel satisfied and pleased at what we've done, to counteract our tendency to behave unskillfully. Rejoicing is more powerful than you can imagine. Feeling good about what we have thought, spoken, or acted has a deep effect on our psyche, and it makes us much more likely to stick to our good intentions. These 5 steps, regret, refuge, remedy, resolution, and rejoicing, may initially seem a bit clumsy and forced. However, they quickly become familiar and can help us turn all kinds of situations into opportunities to grow and to learn. May the practice of honesty enrich our lives and the lives of the beings around us.